Strong U.S. hiring fuels the nation's economic expansion.
This should ease any concerns that traders, investors, economists had earlier in the year about a potential recession.
A rash of illnesses related to vaping may have peaked, and how money from the black market could impact GDP. It's Friday, December 6th. This is the PM edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The White House says it will not participate in House impeachment hearings next week. In a letter sent to Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler late this afternoon, White House counsel Pat Cipollone characterized the process as unfair because House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had not given the White House the ability to call any of their own witnesses. Cipollone wrote that adopting articles of impeachment would be a, quote, reckless abuse of power by House Democrats. A member of the Saudi Air Force training at a U.S. Navy base in Pensacola, Florida, is suspected of killing at least three people and injuring eight others. The shooting is under investigation as a potential act of terrorism. Law enforcement officials say the shooter is dead and no other suspects are being sought at this time. President Trump said on Twitter that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman called to express his condolences. This is the second shooting at a military site this week. On Wednesday, an active-duty sailor killed two people and wounded another at Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard in Hawaii before killing himself. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say they support ending the National Security Agency's controversial phone surveillance program. Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina, the Republican chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, used to support it, but now says the program no longer provides sufficient national security value to justify extending it. The once-secret program was set up shortly after 9/11 to collect data on domestic calls that could provide links about potential terrorist activity. Its existence was leaked by former intelligence contractor Edward Snowden, leading to international condemnation. An outbreak of lung illnesses linked to vaping may have peaked. Federal health officials say the rate of new hospital admissions has declined in the past several weeks. As of Thursday, there have been 2,291 cases of vaping-related illnesses spread across all 50 states. Our Brianna Abbott has the latest update from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
So the CDC is cautiously optimistic that all of the information sharing may have helped to create wider awareness among doctors, patients, and families. And we also have cannabis industry experts and other sources saying that there may have been a shift in how people have been vaping or potentially a shift in the illicit market itself. As of right now, most of the illnesses have been linked to THC, which is the psychoactive ingredient in cannabis. And recently, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, pointed to vitamin E acetate or vitamin E oil as an additive in some of these THC products as one of the major culprits in these illnesses. But they're still not going as far as to say it's a cause, and there still might be multiple causes.
Hospitalizations have been declining since they peaked in mid-September. New York prosecutors asked a judge today to increase bail for disgraced Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein, who has been awaiting trial on sex crimes charges. Weinstein is currently out on $1 million bail and wears an ankle monitor. Prosecutors say the device indicates he's violated his bail agreement over 50 times. His lawyers called them technical glitches. The judge declined to rule on the bail request, saying he would revisit the matter in court next week. Weinstein's trial is set to begin on January 6th. He's pleaded not guilty. The U.S. job market strengthened in November. Hiring jumped, especially in healthcare, restaurants, and transportation. The economy added 266,000 jobs, the fastest pace since January, and the unemployment rate fell to 3.5%, a 50-year low. The latest report comes ahead of next week's Federal Reserve meeting. Joining me now from Washington is Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Chaney. So, Sarah, there was a lot to be happy about in this report, and it's helping to ease some ongoing concerns about the broader health of the U.S. economy.
This report was certainly a strong one. So we saw that non-farm payrolls grew by 266,000 in November, and the three-month average through November was also stronger than earlier in the year. So it's a sign that employers have demand for workers and they're in hiring mode. And this should ease any concerns that traders, investors, economists had earlier in the year about a potential recession.
Let's talk about wage growth. This is an area that hasn't been bad per se, but it has had some concern about why we're not seeing a bigger pickup in earnings. What can you tell us?
Yeah, it's been somewhat of a puzzle. So wage growth was picking up for a while, and it peaked in February at 3.4% from a year earlier. Since then, it's been stabilizing, and it has economists kind of scratching their chins, wondering what's going on. We would think that in a tight labor market, when employers are competing for a scarce supply of workers, that they would have to raise wages more than they are.
So something else we've been looking at is this labor force participation rate. That's the number of Americans who are working or seeking work. And we saw that rate ease a bit in November. What's behind that and what does that tell us?
So the headline rate eased a bit in November. And that is, you know, it represents the share of Americans age 16 and over are working or seeking work. And that rate has been surprisingly resilient in recent years because a lot of economists projected that the aging of the population would mean that there would be a bunch of baby boomers who left the labor force and dragged down the labor force participation rate. So the fact that it's been pretty steady is actually a generally positive sign for the economy. We oftentimes look at what's called the prime age labor force participation rate, which is the participation rate for those who are 25 to 54 years old. And that has, over the past several months, been really strong.
So we are looking ahead to next week's Federal Reserve meeting. That will be the final one of the year. How does today's jobs report set us up for that meeting?
The Federal Reserve has cut interest rates 3 times this year. And that was to kind of cushion the economy against the global slowdown and faltering manufacturing and business investment. But since then, the central banking officials have signaled that they'll likely pause any interest rate cuts unless there's, you know, any signs of a more significant or a significant deterioration in the U.S. economy. Given that the November jobs report was pretty robust overall, just, you know, one or two soft spots, this likely reassures Fed officials that they can just kind of wait and see whether the economic data starts telling them something more negative.
Right. And I guess the big question now is when the Fed will make its next move. Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Cheney joining me from Washington with the latest on the jobs report. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
U.S. stocks began rising after the jobs report and kept climbing. The Dow rose 337 points, closing up more than 1% higher. The Nasdaq also rose 1%, and the S&P 500 rose 0.9%. And finally, should dirty money count toward U.S. GDP? In the U.S., only legal goods and services like clothing, food, and housing are calculated in its gross domestic product. But what about money that's made illegally, like drugs, prostitution, or gambling? European countries factor that in when they're tallying the size of their economies. And according to one estimate, if the U.S. added up illegal activity in its calculations, the GDP would expand by more than 1%. Our numbers columnist Joe Craven-McGinty breaks down the math.
An economist at the Bureau of Economic Analysis examined this, and according to her estimates, illegal drugs would have added $111 billion to the GDP in 2017, prostitution would have added $10 billion, gambling would have added $4 billion, and theft from businesses would have added $109 billion. That's a total of $234 billion.
So, should the U.S. include money made illegally in its GDP? Let us know what you think by tweeting us at WSJ Podcasts. And that's what's news for this Friday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.